Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Luke, second chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. We'll read verses number 1 through verse number 7. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let us pray. Father, I thank you today for the wonderful word of God. I thank you, Father, that tonight I do not have to stand here by myself upon my own strength and power, but you've promised me we could come to you not only for the power of God, but for thy wisdom, and I certainly ask you for it. And Father, I ask you tonight to give me clarity of mind and thought and speech, and Father, that we might just be a good, sweet spirit in this place tonight, Lord, as we are reminded of the goodness of God and his greatness and also the wickedness of man. Father, thank you for Jesus tonight, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, please. Chapter number 1, verse number 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Thank you, ladies, for singing that song tonight. There's no name like Jesus. None ever. Never has been, never will be upon the face of this earth. And God told Joseph, came to Joseph, and he said, you take Mary as your wife. She's going to have a child. It's going to be a son, and I want you to name him Jesus. He says in verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. I want you to notice it said a virgin. It did not say a young woman, as many liberal translations, mistranslations say. Mary was a virgin. Amen. The Bible says that. And it says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I want you to know Jesus is God. Amen? No doubt about it. He's not just some nice teacher or good man. He's God. He's God with us. He says, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The reason he called his name Jesus, you notice it was Joseph that done the naming, is because the angel of the Lord had said, name him Jesus. That's the reason he did it, that he shall save his people from their sins. I notice also it says from, not in them. Amen. Just good points, what it says, what God says. Anyway, tonight I want to preach a message to you which I've simply entitled, No Room. In Matthew, the first chapter, we see the wonderful pronouncement by the angel to Joseph that Jesus would be born. We see also in that same chapter that he was born and that he was called Jesus. Now, over in the scriptures that I read you in the book of Luke, I want you to know that Mary and Joseph certainly found no room for themselves, no doubt about this. But the one that was really rooted out was Jesus Christ. The reason there was no room is because he is the Son of God. Now, there's no doubt in my mind also that that night, that inn was full. Some have tried to say, well, they just didn't want it. They didn't know who they were, and they didn't know who he was. But I think that it was full. But I think God done that for a purpose, for a reason. You see, if God wanted to, he could have prepared a palace for his son. That night, he could have been one of the most wonderful buildings and beautiful rooms supplied by God Almighty, if that's what God chose. But God did not choose that. He allowed all of this to occur because he wanted to record right here in the scriptures to show the true attitude of the world toward Jesus Christ, his son. And so he allowed this to happen. I'm reminded not only, and I always think both of them when I think about the birth, I think about the cross. And I'm reminded of the wickedness of men's hearts. And how certainly there's no room, not only today, there wasn't any room for Jesus Christ then. I'm reminded how he was hated and despised. I'm reminded how that he was betrayed and denied and scourged and spit upon and crowned with a crown of thorns. I'm reminded how he was given vinegar and gall to drink. I'm reminded that he was nailed to a cross, and he was mocked, and he died between two thieves. I'm reminded that they pierced him with a spear. He was rejected by the priest and the scribes, and he was hated by the Pharisees. He was mocked by the multitude, and he was crucified by all. I'm reminded that that was Jesus, the Son of God, who loved us so much. He was willing to come and die for us. And so I'm reminded that there was no room there for Jesus, and there is no room today, very little room today, in people's hearts for Jesus Christ. I say to all of us, God help us and have mercy on us. This is the Son of God that came, and we seemingly have no room for him. And certainly the cross reveals man's heart's condition, their thoughts concerning him, as they had no room for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I might tell you also that God knew ahead of time, and so did Jesus, since he is God, knew that men would hate him. And he came anyway. He knew how he would be treated, and he came. There was good illustration of this and good examples of it, because all down through the Old Testament, the prophets were sent to tell people about God, and they rejected that message. They stoned them, they killed them, and they would not listen to them. And so we come along, and God the Son comes along. It's no different. He understood and knew that he would be rejected when he came. But I say to you, he came anyway. The Bible says in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, that he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Sometimes we get this idea that Jesus Christ went around laughing all the time. You never see it in the scriptures that he laughed. But you see it many times when he wept. He was a man acquainted with grief and associated certainly with the sorrows of this world. Terrible, terrible sorrows. And so I say once again today, as we look through the scriptures over in Isaiah 52, we are told that his visage or his appearance was so marred more than any man. And the Bible says, in his form more than the sons of man. In other words, men took him and simply scourged him to the point where he did not look like a human being. And so we can understand in the Scriptures, in Luke, the 7th verse, why it says there was no room for them. And certainly there was no room for Jesus Christ. Now I want to say also that as Jesus lived and walked this earth, there was no room for him when he was here on earth. The Bible tells us in Matthew, the 8th chapter, the 20th verse, that foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Even as Jesus Christ walked this earth, there was not any room for him. He had no place to go home to of a night. Each and every one of us tonight, as far as I know, has a home to go home to and a bed to sleep in, a pillow to lay our head on. But Jesus Christ had none of those. He was not associated with this earth. This was not his home. Amen? And he had no place to lay his head. It's interesting, and I'm not going to turn there, but in John the 7th chapter, the last verse of chapter 7, verse number 53, tells us, "And every man went to his own house." Jesus had been preaching. They wasn't liking what he was preaching. And it says, every man went to his own house. In the very first verse then of chapter 8, it says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. Every man went to his own house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives to lay down his head. Jesus had no place to lay down his head to call his own. Matthew, the 12th chapter, we find Jesus and disciples walking along on the Sabbath day, and his disciples were taking of the corn and eating it. And those that saw him, the Pharisees and the scribes, begrudged the fact that his disciples would have food to eat. Everything Jesus Christ done on this earth was questioned by man and ridiculed by man. Over in Luke, the 4th chapter, the 29th verse, we find him in the synagogue in Nazareth. And the Bible says, they thrust him out of the city to the brow of a hill and was going to cast him down. Everything, even in his hometown, he was hated and despised. No matter what Jesus Christ did, he was looked down upon and ridiculed and begrudged of everything that he had. The Bible says over in Luke the 7th chapter, the 5th verse, that even in his own home, there was no room for those of his brethren, because the Bible says that even his brethren did not believe on him till after the resurrection, let me say. They did not believe upon him. Even in his own home there, the brethren did not believe. There was no room for Jesus Christ. We find over in Mark the 3rd chapter, the 21st verse, that his friends said of him, he is beside himself. As he began his ministry, he is beside himself. Can you imagine, my dear friend, of the whole world standing against you? Everywhere you go, you're belittled, you're ridiculed, you're looked down upon. Everywhere. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ faced. The world had no room for him. And even in Jerusalem, the great city of Jerusalem, the great capital of Israel, we find him preaching and saying, before Abraham was, I am. And the Bible tells us that they took up stones and was ready to cast them at him. Once again, no matter where he went, in that great city, in a place where the people ought to have known, this is the Messiah. And they ready to cast stones at him. So we find that Herod, Pontius Pilate, chief priests, scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, a mob of the common people, Roman soldiers, all come to one agreement. He must die. There is not room on this earth for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Creator. And so even here, as he walked this earth, Jesus Christ found no room. And let me say to you, as he walked this earth, they begrudged him of everything that he had. Every single thing. We find Herod begrudged him of being king and caught and sought him that they might kill him. We find also in Nazareth, they would not recognize his greatness and said of him, he is only a carpenter's son. Only a carpenter's son. They would not give him of his greatness and say he was the son of God. The Pharisees begrudged him his power. The Bible says he cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. They accused him, yes, you have power, but it's satanic power. We also find in the scripture they begrudged his authority. The Word of God tells us that after he had cleansed the temple and was teaching in that temple, they came along and said, "Who gave thee this authority to do what you've just done?" They begrudged the Son of God of every single thing they had. Judas Iscariot begrudged him of the sweet perfume that this dear lady and from the alabaster box had given unto him. And he begrudged that he had that sweet ointment. We find also that they begrudged him his title of "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." They begrudged him of that and said right on that he said he is the King of the Jews. Everything that Jesus did, they begrudged what he had and what he did. Not only that, they begrudged him his clothes and they stripped them from him and that they might cast lots for them. We find also that they begrudged him a drink of water and wanted to instead and did instead give unto him vinegar and gall. We find also that after he had died, it was not enough. They took a spear and they pierced his side and water and blood came forth. They begrudged him of the proof of his resurrection. The Bible tells us that they paid large money to the soldiers to say that his disciples had stole his body. Everything that Jesus did was questioned. Here is the Son of God. There was no room for him. Let me say to you today that men are doing the very same thing today. They begrudge him of the miracles that he performed. And they say they were not miracles. There was certainly some explanation for those miracles. I say to you, he performed those miracles because he is God and he did all the things that the Bible says that he did. They begrudge him of his virgin birth, as we was talking about a few minutes ago. Mary was a virgin, and yet here comes these highfalutin teachers along from these seminaries and all kinds of places and say, he was not born of a virgin, he was born like any other man. They begrudge him his virgin birth. Not only that, the resurrection, they've come along with this highfalutin idea. Somewhere they got it, that he spiritually arose from the dead. My dear friend, he arose bodily, just like the Bible says he arose, you see. But men today want to belittle Jesus Christ and bring him down to their level. If they can get him down to the level of man, they don't look bad. And men have begrudged the Lord Jesus Christ in every area, even in the inspiration of his word. Yes, these highfalutin teachers and even preachers and college professors are coming along and saying that the word of God is not true. Oh, yes, it is. It's the inspired word of God. Every single word of it is true, my dear friend. And one day they will be judged by that. I want to say something to you folks and listen to this preacher. Don't you send your kids. Don't do it. Please don't do it. Don't get your kids over into these universities. Get them into a Christian university somewhere where they can learn and hear the Word of God. These people are teaching and training. I know personally of people who has went into those universities believing in God and come out of there, their faith shaken something terrible. I say to you today, stick with the Bible. Stick with the Word of God. Stick with God's people. Not only that, they deny the very deity of God, that He is of Jesus, that He is truly God. My friend, He is He not? He's Emmanuel with us. Amen? God with us. And God said that. Now you see, they hate Him for His claim to be the Savior of the world. In other words, they just don't have any room for Jesus. I want to say something to you, folks. The world has not changed from that day. Let me tell you today, governments today all across this world deny Jesus Christ. And let me say to you, our government, to much degree, there may be individuals that don't, but our government as a whole deny Jesus Christ as Savior. I realize there's individuals that are saved. Thank God for that. But our government works and functions and lives like he is not God. But I say to you, he is. businesses today, and I'm certainly not talking about every business. I'm saying these big corporations, most of these places are out for one thing, and that is for the almighty dollar, and that alone. And they deny Christ and they keep God out of these things. You know, I read the other day of some, I can't remember the whole story, but of some government institution where that they had been $20 spent for a Christmas tree. And they had been, and they was questioning that because it was called a Christmas tree, that it might promote religion. And they was bringing this up, that this person had spent $20 to buy a Christmas tree, and so they called it something else, and I wish I had cut out the article because I can't remember what they called it. They called it some other kind of tree and got by with it. Most foolish thing in all the world, and yet we sit around and say, boy, our government, our nation is great and it's wonderful and everything's going, everything, let me say to you folks, is going downhill. And you know what? There just isn't any room for Jesus. And let me say to you also, we've known for a long time in the schools of America there's no room for Jesus. When you can say, take the Bible and kick it out, and you're not allowed to read the Bible, the Word of God, in the public school. You can't read it. You can't pray. You can't witness like you should be able to witness. Teachers used to take their Bibles and carry them to church, to school. They lay them on their desk. They would read the Bible. My wife here, was it Psalm 100 that you memorized in school? Teacher taught them the blessed book, the wonderful Word of God. We're not allowed to do that no more. Listen to me. You say, oh, Brother Ross, I know a place we do. Let me say, you might be getting by with it for a while. You won't get by with it too long. Oh, Satan's going to see that. And it's taken out of the curriculum. You find God, the true God, Jesus Christ, in any of the curriculum. Please bring it to me. I want to see it. I want to see the Son of God proclaimed in the curriculum of our schools. Show it to me. Where is it at? And we say, that's all right. That's all right. It's ruining young people all over this world, all over this nation. It's destroying them. And yet we go on and just go on and let them be destroyed. My dear friend, there's no room for Jesus in our government, in our businesses, or in our schools. And let me say also, there's no room for Jesus in our families anymore. Now folks, I know we've got some sweet folk here, and I know I would take for granted you allow Jesus into your family. Take for granted you do. But I want to tell you something, families all over this nation, there's no room for Jesus. There just isn't any room. I mean, at Christmas time don't mean anything. Let me tell you something, folks. We don't just want to have Jesus at Christmas time. We want to have him all year long. Amen. We need to find room for Jesus every day of our life. Yes, and we find that in our families today, they're too busy. Satan has won that victory. He's got us all so busy we're on a treadmill. And there isn't room for Jesus. You go to the doors nowadays, my dear friend, and you can talk to anybody at them doors about just about anything you want to, but don't you talk about Jesus. You can sell a lottery ticket to them if you wish, or a raffle ticket, or sell them some candy or some other oranges or something else, but don't tell them about Jesus. And you know what the shame of it is? Multitudes of churches all across this nation has quit going knocking on doors, simply for the reason that they get rejected and they don't like rejection, and so they just go and hide in their homes. My dear friend, it ought to make us get out there and do it. Amen. Get out there and knock on some doors and tell people about Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, we need to be soul winners. Amen. We need to get out there and tell people. We need to visit people and tell them. We need to knock on those doors and tell people that Jesus lives. He's the Son of God. A Savior has been born. Say, Brother Ross, they'll reject me and they'll slam that door. Let them slam. Does it really make any difference? Let them slam that door. Tell them about Jesus Christ, my dear friend. One day you'll stand before God Almighty and be very glad that you did. So what has we churches done? Churches all over this land has quit doing it. So I say to you, that's my next point. There's no room for Jesus in most of our churches. Our dear brother, Brother Taylor here, has went through one of the most difficult times. Him and his family's went one of the most difficult times as a preacher. that I've ever seen. The people of that so-called church have done this man dirty, rotten, stinking, dirty, rotten. They came over the other day, this morning, while they was gone, and unhooked his phone. He's still living in the parsonage. They unhooked the phone. They don't want him making calls. That's a minor thing that they've done. They've ridiculed him, threatened, made accusations, and hundreds of other things. And they call themselves God's people. My dear friend, there's no room for Jesus. Terrible, isn't it, that man would preach the Word of God to a church and they don't want it? Why? There's no room in our churches today. We've kicked the Word of God not only out of our schools, we've kicked it out of many of our churches. Oh, you say, Brother Ross, I know preachers, and listen, they can preach, and they preach the Word of God. Listen to me, folks. You can get up here and say a lot of things, but when you walk out of this pulpit, you better be ready to back it up with life. And let me say another thing to you, just as a warning to all of you. There's a lot of people who supposedly is preaching the Word of God, but their whole philosophy of the running of a church is all wrong, and it's killing young people all over this nation. When you get the wrong philosophy to back up what you're preaching, my dear friend, you've got it wrong, and you're going to be in trouble down the road. I want my children, I want my grandchildren somewhere where the Word of God is taught and lived and believed as it's supposed to be. I had a man tell me just the other day, he's a preacher. I'm going to tell you what he said to me. I won't tell you who it was. He said, Brother Ross, he said, I've went through all of this, and he said, I'll tell you, we've just come to a time where we just can't preach standards anymore. This is exactly what he told me. Say, we just can't teach and preach standards anymore. People won't receive it. And all they'll do is just get mad and leave. He said, we just can't do it anymore. And I said, I want to know something. Is those standards scriptural? Well, he said, sure they are. And I said, if they're scriptural, you better be preaching them, my dear friend. You'll stand before God if you don't. Why do we as churches think we've got to satisfy people? My dear friend, it is right for us to dress properly. And I'm not going to apologize for it. Amen. It's right. It's scriptural. And this church is going to stand on that. Amen. Foolishness of men, they say. Oh, we've got to get off of this, some of this stuff, because we're losing our people. My friend, you're not losing anything. We've got to hold to standards. We've got to get the Word of God back in our churches. And let me say to you, 1992 is going to be a good year for us. But it's also going to be a year we're going to straighten some things out around here. Amen. Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. We're just going to straighten some things out. People want to be Sunday school teachers. They're going to visit. Amen. And they're going to study. Amen. And they're going to be in the services, and they're going to be on time. Amen. And a whole lot of other things I've got up here in my noodle. Amen. We're just going to do it. Just going to do it. My dear friends, if you let it go an inch, I'll guarantee you, before you can get it stopped, it'll slip to a mile. Amen. And our churches nowadays have no room for Jesus. We have the machinery, but no Jesus. We have the worldly music, but no Jesus. I want to tell you something. I'd just rather never ever hear another song as long as I live as to hear a worldly, carnal, wicked, contemporary song in the church. I don't care if no one ever sings again. If we can't uplift Jesus, forget it. Don't need the junk and the baloney, the worldly music. Don't need it.
Don't want it. Don't not going to have it. Okay? We find in Revelation Jesus outside the church. And across this land, that's where he's at. He's on the outside. Jesus doesn't rule most churches anymore. Men do. And my dear friend, he is the chief shepherd. He is the good shepherd, and he is the great shepherd. And his word is supreme. Your thoughts and my thoughts are not supreme. Your traditions and my traditions must not be in. God's word must be in. And then we come to Christmas, and we remember the decorations, and thank God, there's nothing wrong with decorations. Good to decorate. And we don't ever forget the gifts that we store up one for another. But very seldom do we remember a gift for Jesus. I thought myself this week, it's been a funny time this year. Christmas has been a funny time to me this year. I consider part of it my own fault. It's been one of the most wonderful, sweet times. And yet also, on the other hand, it's been one of the most discouraging times of my pastorate. I have seen some wicked things this Christmas. And I've also seen some good things. Wonderful, precious things. I've seen people who's willing to serve and love the Lord and give of themselves and do right. I've seen that. And I thank God for every bit of it. But I've also seen some things that literally discourage me. And let me say to you, discouragement is sin, and I got it right. It's not their fault that I get discouraged. That's my problem. Amen? I'm just simply saying I've seen some silly things this Christmas that has literally taken the heart out of me. And I say to God, I don't even understand how you put up with this. I don't see how you put up with Christianity. I don't understand it. If I was you, I'd pinch all of our heads off. We got time for the parties, and we got time for the dinners, and we got time for the Santa Clauses, and we got time for all that, but we won't have time for Jesus. There just isn't room for the Lord Jesus Christ. We just don't have time. And I say to you, may God help us if we don't have time for Jesus. Amen. I'm going to tell you one incident. I shouldn't. David came in this morning and he said, Dad, I went and delivered those fruit baskets yesterday. And he said, I was at one place because I was visiting another place in that area. I was there 20 minutes. And he said, in that 20 minutes, the fruit basket that we brought, there was another organization that brought another great big fruit basket. Not fruit baskets, excuse me, grocery baskets. I'm sorry. Food baskets. And he said, before I got away from there was another organization that brought another great one that had two big turkeys. He said, I saw piled on top. Three food baskets went into that home and they took them like, that's great. And when David told me that, I said to myself, what is this all about? What in God's name is this all about? People using Christmas, a wonderful, sweet time of the child Lord Jesus born. And people using that as a way to get. Now you say, Brother Ross, does that happen all the time? Of course not. There's some sweet people that received those baskets gladly and they needed them and were glad that they got them. And I know you was glad to give them. Amen? You was. I know you was. And I say to myself, I don't know how sometimes you control these things. I really don't know. I don't understand it. But that's just a minor thing that happened. But I also saw, as I said, we saw some good things, sweet things that happened, and I'm grateful and thankful to be a part of that. But I want to say to you, we've got to find room for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We got to find time for Him. May God help us and forgive us if we don't find room for Jesus. And I want to encourage you, certainly this Christmas, and I know you're here on Sunday night. You're here. You're it. You're the Sunday night crowd. But I certainly want to encourage you, please find room for Jesus Christ in your Christmas. And don't forget Him. Don't forget what Christmas is all about. Amen? Folks, I want you to get a new dedication this coming year to serve God, the true and the living God. Jesus is coming soon and souls are lost. Hopelessly lost. And we treat it like it's nothing. And I say, God, help us. And help us to repent and do something about it. Have a great Christmas. Remember Jesus. Find room for Him. Amen. In your hearts this year. Let us pray. Father, thank You again today for the wonderful grace of God, Your goodness and kindness to us. I thank You, Father, for Your wonderful love and how You sent Your wonderful, precious Son to die on the cross for our sins. And Father, I pray and ask You to forgive us, Lord, when we fall so short of what we ought to be for Thee. Help us to remember that there needs to be room for Thy Son in our hearts all the time, every day of the year. And I pray You'll help us to do that. And Father, I do pray, I ask You please to help the people take this message as it was intended. It was not intended to criticize. It was intended, Father, to awaken all of us to what we need to be for Thee. And I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.